The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Please stand with me in your Bible. We'll sing the same song after I finish, hopefully. Numbers chapter 22. Turn to the book of Numbers chapter 22. Reading from verse number 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore and afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was the king of the Moabites at that time. Verse 5. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail that I may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wish that he whom thou hast blessed is blessed, and whom thou cursest is cursed or cursed. And the elders of Moab and the children of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Verse 9. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse them. The people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balaam sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word which the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and the anger of God was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and a sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass, and he turned her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on his side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And 27, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened his mouth, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I will kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And said nay. 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because the way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I know not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which was in the border of Arnon, and which was in the uttermost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send thee unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou unto me? Am I not able to indeed to promote thee and to honor thee? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went to Balak, and they came to Kirjath Huzoth. Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent Balaam and the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him unto the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. That was a long reading, but say an amen to the reading of the word. The Bible says in the time of Nehemiah, when the temple was reconstructed, They read the Bible from morning till midday. I mean, morning till midday. I'm sure they took turns and each person read the Word of God. Today I'm preaching on the topic, spiritual declarations in spiritual warfare. Spiritual declarations in spiritual warfare. There are natural declarations that are distinct from spiritual declarations. And there are natural warfares that are distinct from spiritual warfares. But whether it be natural or spiritual warfare, they are still governed by activities in the realms of the spirit. So if you want to establish victory in the natural, you must remember that you must first conquer in the spirit. And after you have done so, then the victory will fall onto your lap and you will execute it in the natural. The devil is a spiritual devil. And when Jesus had to conquer him, although he came in the natural, all that was happening to him in terms of he being buffeted and in terms of he being spat upon, wearing that crown of thorns, and his being whipped and his back being plunked, and he bearing the cross and climbing up painfully onto the Mount of Golgotha, and he being crucified, were all spiritual activities. The Bible says if the devil had known that by this simple activity Jesus would have had victory over him, he would never have done that. The Bible says likewise, Jesus also himself partook of the same flesh that humanity was subject to, that by his victory, the church of Jesus Christ and humanity would have victory. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So there are natural battles, there are spiritual battles, but they are all governed by spiritual principles. And what we have just read is an example of a man who had attempted to attack Israel in the natural, but he was not able to. He knew that he would fail. He knew that he would fall flat on his face. So what he did was to bring in a spiritual person to make spiritual declarations on his behalf, to give him advantage over the people that he perceived as his enemies. And I'm talking about Balak. Balak was the king of Moab. At a stage in the journey of Israel, they came to dwell in a place that was quite close to Moab. In fact, they actually settled in the land of the Amorites. The Amorites are different from the Ammonites, and I'll be explaining very shortly. So at a stage in the journey of Israel, like I was saying, they came to dwell in a place that was close to the land of Moab, where Balak was the king. This settlement created a lot of discomfort in the mind of King Balak. He became terrified. He became afraid at the presence of Israel. Why was he afraid? Number one, he was terrified because he said Israel had a huge population and they were like the sand on the seashore. Number two, Balak was terrified Because he said Israel were too powerful to be defeated militarily. They were strong. They were a force to reckon with. And you could not defeat Israel. Number three, there was eloquent testimony that Israel had defeated the Amorites. The Amorites were a powerful nation, but Israel defeated them completely and convincingly. And thereafter, Israel chose to settle in their land. So Balak may have attempted to have attacked Israel, but any time he did, he realized that he was endangering his life and his army, and he could sense that defeat was staring him in the face. So Balak decided to contract a prophet to come and make a spiritual pronouncement, a spiritual declaration against the children of God, because he realized that the protection and the victory that the children of God had was as a result of a certain spiritual protection that God had given them. And if he could break the defense, then he would be able to penetrate the camp of the devil. In short, King Balak saw a perpetual mark of divine victory upon Israel. And he knew, except that mark was wiped away, there was no way that he could engage in any battle with them and defeat them. So out of fear and dread, the king engaged the services of a prophet who had the reputation of cursing and blessing, and these words came to pass. So Balak the king constituted a group of elders, a team, and sent them over to persuade the prophet to come over and help him to curse Israel because he wanted them destroyed. The Bible says in verse 7 that when these people came, they came with what we call the fee of divination. They brought money, and in those days, one of the practices they did was to see people of doubtful spiritual backgrounds, people of occultic backgrounds, witch wizards, and all kinds of people, and get them to make spiritual pronouncements against their enemy and pay a fee toward them. So when they were coming, they had what the Bible has called the fee of divination. And as a servant of God, as a child of God, be careful some monies you receive. Am I hearing an amen? Don't let anybody contract you to go and do a dirty work, so that you are paid for the dirty work you are doing. You are a child of God. There are clean blessings that can drop from the throne of God, and that should be your focus. What God does not want you to have, don't force to have it. But what God wants you to have will definitely come to you. So when they arrived at the prophet's place, the prophet asked them their mission. And they mentioned that they had been sent by the king to come and, you know, invite him to come over and do a certain business for him. So the prophet said, stay overnight in my house so that I will seek the face of God. This was the first mistake that this prophet did. Number one, he shouldn't have given a place to these people who had made themselves enemies of Israel to stay overnight in his house. Can I suggest to you, don't let anger stay overnight with you. Don't let bitterness and grudges stay overnight with you. Don't let fear and hatred stay overnight with you. Don't let jealousy stay overnight with you. You have to get rid of it. You have to send it away. So Balaam went into the process of seeking the face of God. And then God communicated to him, don't go. Send the people away. So Balaam complied and sent the people away. That is in verse 12. He sent the people away. Then the king, who is Balak, sent another delegation. The Bible says this time they were more noble, more honorable, and there were plenty. And they came to persuade the king. So they came to persuade the prophet, telling him that if he will come over, the king has promised to promote him and to raise him and to make him mighty. Remember, promotion cometh not from the east nor from the west, but promotion cometh from Jehovah, in the name of Jesus. When a man raises you, a man can bring you down. But when God raises you, they cannot bring you down. That's why they could not get Israel, because God had raised them up. Can I hear an amen from? In this same thing of the prophet making a mistake and making these people stay overnight, I have suggesting for you. If you are dating a person, never sleep overnight in the house of your intended. Can I repeat myself? Don't go and sleep in the same room, let me be more specific, with your intended, because you have to first dedicate your relationship to God before you start enjoying it. It is a dishonor to God when you start enjoying the relationship sexually before you present it to God. Somebody shout a loud amen to that word. So the king sent more noble people, many of them this time, to come and persuade the prophet to come over and curse Israel. The fears of this king, in a way, was quite unfounded. Because the Moabites and the Ammonites, now first was Amorites, but now I'm saying Ammonites. The Moabites and the Ammonites were descendants of Lot. There was a time that Lot had two daughters, and there were no men around, and Lot was old. And these daughters decided that if daddy dies, our lineage will not continue. So they gave their father alcohol to drink. In other words, they drugged him. And when he was intoxicated, they had sexual affairs with him. The first night, one person. Then the following night, the second person. And the children that were born were the Ammonites and the Moabites. Are you getting it? So Lot was of the lineage of the household of God. So those people God wanted to protect, although they are products of incest, God had asked Israel not to attack them. So while the Moabites and the Ammonites dwelt in the land of Moab, Israel was not going to attack them. But King Balak allowed his fears to heighten so much that he got to a place where he simply wanted to do away with the children of God. And that was what led to him going to contract a foreign prophet to come and curse the people of God so he would have advantage over them and defeat them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you that the prophet of God eventually gave in to following the second group of nobles who were sent to persuade him. So he began to follow them. And he told them something in verse 20, that it is what God puts in my mouth that I'll be able to tell you. So the prophet Balaam mounted a donkey, and the people that came to invite him also were moving alongside. But when the prophet got to a certain place, he realized an unusual behavior of his donkey. He will pull the bridle in the donkey's mouth and the donkey will not move forward. So he whipped the donkey once with his staff, and this time the donkey moved sideways because they were in a narrow place, and he knocked one of the legs of the prophet against the wall. So he literally squeezed the leg of the prophet, and the prophet got angry and caned him again, or caned the animal again. So three times the prophet struck the animal. It was on the third time that God gave utterance to the animal, and it turned around and started speaking to his master. If you will not hear the voice of God directly to honor it, God will make animals come and talk to you. Did you hear what I said? In other words, God will allow some situations to dishonor you if you will not hear the word of God. And he heard directly from God. But listen to me. The donkey saw what the Bible has called an angel of the Lord. And in many cases in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord refers to the Lord himself. So literally the Lord himself descended and was trying to obstruct the prophet from continuing the journey because God didn't want him to go and curse. So there God reprimanded the prophet and allowed him to go and said, when you get there, don't say what you are told to say, but only say what I will put in your mouth. May God put his word in the mouth of his servants, that in these end times they will bear the mantle of God, and they will declare the mind of God to the household of God. They will serve us like oracles of God, like Ahithophel did in the administration of David when he was of sound spirit. Can I hear an amen? If you have received that prophecy, clap your hands unto the Lord. So eventually, Balaam appears before the king Balak. And Balak took him to a high place. The initial place was where the institution or the temple and of Baal was, to give him a good overview of the land and the people that he wanted to curse. He wanted the prophet to see it from afar so that he would be inspired to curse them. But when the prophet got there, God put his word in his mouth and he blessed them. Then he took him to another location, still high. And the king commanded the prophet to curse. And when the prophet opened his mouth, again, he blessed the people of God. Then the king did so for the third time and for the fourth time. On one of the occasions, the prophet told him that God has blessed Israel and I cannot curse them. In other words, you don't curse anyone that God has blessed. Because if you curse Abraham, the Bible says you shall be cursed. And if you bless Abraham, the Bible says you shall be blessed. So your job is to bless Abraham so the blessings will bounce back to you and you leave the rest of the business for God to do. Can I hear a good amen from somebody? So in those days, battles were won based on the spiritual pronouncements and spiritual declarations that were made. They realized that if you had massive support from your God, whichever God you were serving, and the God favored you, and you made pronouncements in the name of your God, if you went to the battleground, the battle favored you. If you allowed your enemy to curse, and you belong to Yahweh, Jehovah, and you don't say anything, it may be likely your enemy may fight you seriously. So we are living in a time and we have a faith that you must speak. Can I hear an amen? As a child of God, you must learn to open your mouth, whether in the night or in the morning or in the daytime, and speak the word of God into your situation and speak the word of God into your circumstances, because the Bible says the power of life and death rests in your tongue. And when you say you'll be delivered, God will move accordingly and deliver you. When you say that you are protected and the enemy's arrow will not touch you, God will similarly move and bring you his defense as his shield, and no evil shall befall you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to understand that the Bible says a man is snared by the words of his mouth. A snare is a small trap, and based on what you say, you trap yourself into a destiny of honor or into a destiny of frustration. But as a child of God, the Bible says speak life so that you will inherit the life. And when David had to face Goliath, and for 40 days and 40 nights he had been raving and ranting and shouting because the battles were won by words, and said, pick me one champion from your side. I am Goliath. I have experience in battle. The God of the Amalekites, the God of the Philistines has defended us. And I wonder whether Yahweh will defend you people as Israel. pick me one person to come and fight, and he will boast and shout and despise the armies of the living God. But when David got to the scene, he said, what shall be the reward that shall be given to the man that shall deal with this person? They tried to give him the armor of King Saul, but it was too heavy for him, and he was inexperienced at using it. But there were things that he knew how to use. He knew how to use a stone and a sling and the sling, and just one release of a stone from the sling, he was going to finish Goliath. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But before he released the stone, he attacked Goliath by the words of his mouth. And Goliath was the one who initiated the attack and said, I am coming against you by the God of these Philistines. And today I will slay you and destroy you and finish you and give your body to the beast of the field. And David said, you are joking. I am not coming against you in my name, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sibuah, the God of all battles, the man that has never lost a battle before, and a man that will never lose the battle. The battle tactician, and the battle strategist, and the one who has the power of execution to execute vengeance upon his enemies and destroy them to the last. And David said, I'm coming against you today. And he added a prophecy that today I will slay you and I will cut off your head. And when I cut off your head, I will release your body to the beast of the field and to the birds of the air. And exactly what David said was exactly what the hand of God did for him. Today I declare to you, what you will open your mouth to say concerning victory in your life and concerning defeat against your enemies, God is going to execute. Your amen can support what I'm saying, because it's a battle of words, and your amen is enough to say that I support what you are saying. I place a spiritual rubber stamp upon it. I embrace that word, and this prophecy is for me. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Absalom attacked his father, overthrew him, and kicked him out of the palace. David, for his own safety, fled and left the city of Jerusalem. Absalom went ahead to contact David's closest advisor. The Bible says when that man speaks, it's like the oracles of God. In other words, his income share was ditto. When he spoke the prophecy, it came to pass. So David knew he had an uphill task. And if the kingdom of Ahithophel were to fail, then those declarations must be messed up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So David didn't even focus upon Absalom, but he focused upon Ahithophel, whose counsel would have perpetrated defeat against David. He said, Lord, turn the counsel. He didn't say turn the counsel of Absalom into foolishness, but he targeted the one who was the oracle of God, who spoke the things that came to pass. And he said, this time, confuse the mind of that person. This and let him get it wrong, because he has touched the anointed of the living God. He said, this time let him fail. And Ahithophel brought a counsel, and Absalom rejected it, and in shamefacedness he went to commit suicide. And Absalom also died with his long hair hanging in the oak tree while riding on the back of a mule, and the mule just left him, and he
he found himself dying on the tree until one of Saul's men went to pierce him and he died. Listen to me. David did not even mention death in the prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he did not mention that, Lord, let me come back to Jerusalem and take the city again. All the riches and the gold and my wives and children. But he said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Today, I'm about to declare, are you ready with an amen? Today, in the name of Jesus, anybody that is offering counseling that is contrary to the will of God and intended to bring your hurt and to devise your demise by the power of God, in the name of Jesus, I command that that counsel shall be turned into a counsel of foolishness. May the witches and the wizards be confused. May the powers of the occult be confused. May your enemies come to a place where they will knock their heads together. The Bible says, although they gather, it is not by me. May they be scattered. May they be confounded. May they be confused. In the name of Jesus Christ. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Words are powerful, and words offered by the word of God and through the Spirit of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit will not return void, but they will go out to accomplish the very purpose for which they were sent out. The Bible says he sent his word, and it healed them and deliver them from their destruction. Today I send the word of God and I declare that that power of darkness that has situated itself around your life, today we terminate it. We terminate it. Any covenant made on your behalf by your forebears which is affecting your life or your children or your children's children, today we annul that covenant of evil. We destroy that covenant by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare in the name of Jesus that any satanic oppressor oppressing your life, today Jesus died and has given liberty to the church. Jesus said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to open the prison gates and to bring deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are oppressed. Today I pick the words of Christ and I declare you will be set at liberty. The nightmarish activities shall disappear. The perennial attacks of the enemy that comes against your life and that you'll be confused and disturbed and depressed and feel morose and feel like life is not worth living, we cut it short by the finger of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare you are free from any satanic ancestral power. That door is closed. That door by which they attack you, that you are not saying amen. That door by which the enemy attack you, I declare shut. There is a door that God shuts and no man can open it. May Jehovah shut that door and let it not open. But we open the doors of life and the doors of deliverance and the doors of liberty and the doors of victory and the doors of blessing. We open them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Balaam, the prophet, said that God has blessed this people and I cannot curse them. Today I'm here to let you know God has already blessed you. The Bible says, for we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you know you are blessed, shout the loudest and put your hands together. Come on, be wild. Come on, be aggressive. Come on, be bold. Come on, declare, I am free. I am free from the attacks of the devil. I am free from satanic occult forces. I want you to open your mouth and say, I am free. I am free from insanity. I shall not be mad. My mind will not be confused. The devil shall not dominate my life. In the name of Jesus, I shall not die before my time. The grace of God shall rest upon me, and the purposes of God shall be fulfilled in my life. Come on, shout and put your hands together. Oh, I said shout. I said shout. Whenever there is a curse, number one, what a curse does is to affect the one upon whom it is pronounced. So what does a curse do? Number one, it weakens your opponent. It weakens your opponent. Number two, the curse breaks the defenses of your enemies. Number three, the curse confounds your enemy. That word confound means to be confused or to be perplexed. So the curse will confuse your enemies. Number four, the curse disorients your enemy. If they're supposed to be oriented here and attack you and succeed, God will disorient them and they will move in the wrong direction and they will do the wrong things and victory will come to you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Number four, is that number four? Number five, a curse makes your enemies vulnerable. It put them in a state of vulnerability that when you begin to attack, you will get them. And finally, a curse paralyzes your enemies. Today, upon the word of God, I declare, may your enemies be weakened. The Bible says, and there was a long war between the house of David and the house of Saul. And as the house of David grew stronger and stronger, the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Today I declare to you, may you become stronger. I'm not hearing amens. What I'm feeling on my inside, if you say amen, your victory is established. I say, may you become stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. May you become stronger, strengthened with might on your inner man by the Spirit of God. May you become stronger mentally and emotionally. May you become stronger morally and in purity. May you become stronger physically, that your health will not fail. And may you become socially stronger, that you'll be powerful in the committee of nations. Amen. May you become stronger financially and materially. Can you shout amen? Let me hear you. And in the other vein, I prophesy a curse upon your enemies to expose them, to weaken them, to break their defenses, say amen, and to confound them. We declare your enemies disoriented. We declare your enemies scattered. We declare your enemies vulnerable. And we declare your enemies paralyzed. The Bible says, if they shall come against you one way, when I strike them, they will be confounded, they will be confused, they will be perplexed, and they will be scattered in seven different ways, never to regroup, never to regroup against your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, if anybody told you that I'm going to make sure that you die, that person is in trouble. May that prophecy boomerang onto the same person. A boomerang is a type of fruit with a certain curvature, like a horseshoe. And in places like Australia where they are, normally when it's dry, they throw it into the air. And there's an amazing thing about the boomerang. When it goes, no matter the distance, it will return to the place where it was thrown. I am saying that if anybody has attacked you and declared you are cursed and that you'll be destroyed, I prophesy, may that same prophecy boomerang unto the person, but may that prophecy never land and work in your life. Have you not read that God has given powers to fathers, and for that matter, spiritual fathers? He says the blessings of the fathers shall prevail above the blessings of the progenitors. Your progenitors are your forebears. They are your great-grandfather and the people that came before you in your lineage. The Bible says, if perchance they have said anything in the multitude of their blessings, if out of anger or out of a slip of tongue they say something that is not in your favor, then the current fathers will have to make a new pronouncement. To annul the pronouncements of the progenitors, to annul the announcements or the declarations of your forebears, and establish the will of God and establish the grace of God. Today, I break every curse upon your life. Curses that were intended to make you mad, I break them in Jesus' name. Curses that were intended to make you confused, I destroy them in Jesus' name. Curses that were intended to make you become so frustrated that you would want to commit suicide, I break it in Jesus' name. And I declare that you are freed by reason of the anointing of God from any yoke of bondage. Oh, somebody shout, yeah. Oh, come on, put your hands together. The young man here, clap, clap. Don't be in church and act as if. Listen to me. You heard one servant of God saying that since December, he's been sensing some evil and has been praying for protection. I have been sensing similar things, and I've been praying under my breath, whether driving incessantly, just because I know when I stop, it might not help some situation. So today I am declaring that thing that wanted to break your defense, may your defense be impregnable. May your defense be impenetrable. May your defense be secure by the Most High God in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when the armies of Pharaoh were pursuing Israel at the banks of the Red Sea, God caused the cloud that was ahead of them to come behind them, and it serves as an invisible barrier a dividing wall between Egypt and Israel. Today I prophesy, may the dividing wall between you and premature death be established. May the dividing wall between you and any accident or demonic incidents, may they be stopped. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? May God bring a dividing wall to secure you from curses. When they throw the curses at you, it will hit the glass of God. It will hit the invisible barrier and drop to the ground. It shall not attack you, for God shall be your shield and your defense and your exceeding great reward. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of a disease or sickness upon your life. I break that curse. To have your victory, you must know how to speak, and you must know when to speak and when to be quiet. You must know when to open your mouth and declare that this evil shall pass my family over. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying. Church, when you are blessed, it is the biggest security that you have. The main thing that God wants you to get from a servant of God is a blessing which will keep you and carry you forward. Rebecca realized that, and because he loved, is it Rebecca? He loved Jacob. Was it Rebecca? She prepared Jacob to take the blessing and outsmarted Esau. So Jacob took the blessing. The end of the story, in spite of the initial frustrations, favored the man. Today, I have come under the anointing of the Spirit to release blessings. I thought you would shout more. Just to release blessings. That may your going out be blessed. Even if you are going to Sukura, may you be blessed. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. I said, may your going out be blessed. Even when you leave your house to buy kinky, may you be blessed. And may your coming in be blessed. Whether you visit Nigeria, South Africa, US, any part of Europe or China, may you be blessed. The fact that you left your house to come to church, and the fact that you tuned in and connected to us online, may you be blessed. May your going out be blessed. And may your coming in be blessed. If that works, then it will work when you make an effort to be with the saints of God. Secondly, may the Lord bless the fruit of your womb and bless the fruit of your ground. When I say the fruit of your womb, I'm talking about children that are either yet to be conceived, have been conceived, or have been given birth to. I declare, may God bless the fruit of your womb by the power of God. May the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your imagination, the fruit of your creativity, may you be blessed by the power of God. May the fruit of your ground be also blessed. If you are a farmer and you do arable and pastoral farming, whether it's a maize farm, a cocoa farm, an okra farm, whatever kind of farm, maize, millet, or wheat, whatever it is that you grow on the ground, may it be blessed. In a similar venture, may your business venture be also blessed, because it's the fruit of your ground. Whether you are a hairdresser, a seamstress, a draftsman, whatever you are, a carpenter, a teacher, is somebody hearing what I'm saying, a minister of the gospel, may the fruit of your ground, may your congregation be blessed. I declare you are blessed in the city and you are blessed in the village. There is a time for evangelism to be done, and sometimes it may take you to the village, but God has pronounced, whether you are in the city or in the village, may the blessings of God reach you. Then the Bible says, if they shall come against you one way and God decides to deal with them, then number one, he will confound them. He will confuse them. Then he will scatter them, disorganize them, disorient them, and make them vulnerable and send them away from you. He sent some enemies to come and arrest the prophet in the Old Testament. And the prophet commanded blindness upon them. May I command blindness upon the demons which were sent against you. Shout a double amen, someone. The Bible says, you shall not build a house that another man shall inherit, and you shall not marry that another man shall come and take the woman and enjoy the children. No, it must never happen in your life. You will never build in just a few months and years after that you are laid in state in that place. Never. You will live to enjoy the fruits of your labor. God has empowered you not just to prosper but to enjoy. For the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and added no sorrow. We subtract sorrow from your life, from your blessing. We take sorrow, we take it out. Your children will not give you sorrow. The congregation will not give you sorrow. Your family will not give you sorrow. Your boyfriend will not give you sorrow. You don't say amen. You will not build and another man comes to inhabit. Either they will use the law crookedly. Before they decide, God will wipe them all off. Once the land is legitimately yours, it is yours forever. Shout amen and put your hands together, somebody. The Bible says, you shall not cultivate vineyards, then another man shall come and drink the grapes. May you taste some of the grapes, and may you be satisfied with the fruit of your labor. I say, I bless you. May you see profit, because the word declares, for in every labor there is profit. May God bring profits into your life.
King Balak contracted prophet Balaam to go curse a people he saw as innumerable, populated the earth. A people he saw had won successive battles, and a people he saw had defeated some particular enemies. So he became afraid, and in his panic, decided to raise men against the children of God. Can I declare that the altar that they raised to put a sacrifice of evil intended to affect you, may that altar split from top to bottom. May the sacrifice fall to the ground, and may the fire of God destroy everything that they have said on that altar against you. Oh, come on, keep clapping. Is everybody clapping? Is everybody clapping? Is everybody clapping? Moyo sondara bakia, ayala rabakia, skelere bakia, ibaya sunene mekaya, ayana ramakaya bros telere makaya, imanda kaya bros telere bakia, ayaba bandiri mekia skelere bakaya, ayaba ba yemama taya bros telere bakia. Today you want to raise your voice and declare, any voice that was raised against me that is not of the will of God, may God bring it down. Any voice that is intending to devise my head and to bring affliction upon my life, may the hand of God work against it. Any evil voice speaking on an evil altar and making pronouncements against my life, may that not be shut. May that person become dumb by the power of God and not have the power to speak anymore. In the name of Jesus, are you raising your voice? In the spirit of death, come on, deal with the spirit of death from your life and carry it off by the power of God. Carry it off, carry it off, carry it off. In the name of Jesus, raise your voice. Raise your voice. And affliction. The Bible says, before you take charge of any house, when you get in, you overpower the strong man. May the strong man be overpowered. May the strong man be overpowered. In the name of Jesus.
I
All those things you call spiritual marriage, they are just some demons that have positioned themselves. Are you hearing me? They are just some demons that have positioned themselves to frustrate you in an area. And it is their frustration you are seeing. So the Bible says that you shall resist the devil and he will flee from you. So there's a time to resist and say that this thing occurring in my family shall no more occur, and it shall no more affect my life by the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to know today we are lifting a prayer to that demon, that force of darkness assigned to fight your life, to fight your progress, to fight your health, to fight your peace. Come on, lift up your voice and begin to deal with it right now.
Lift up your voice. Rakapanda kata. Rataka paya.